KBOO News In Depth, where we take a deeper look at the top news stories impacting our community.
Despite the latest efforts by Attorney General Jeff Sessions, who, by the way, is facing his own considerable legal problems, marijuana is available by law in about 60% of the U.S. Recreational cannabis is legal in 8 states, with California the latest addition as of January 1st, and medical marijuana is legal in 29 states. In many of these states, it's not only legal to purchase and consume cannabis, but to grow your own, which just happens to be the title of a new book from Portland's Tin House Books, Grow Your Own: Understanding, Cultivating, and Enjoying Cannabis. As the title suggests, the book describes how to grow your own plants at home, but it also serves as a primer for newbies and advanced stoners alike on how to select a strain and the different ways to consume the drug. To find out more, we're fortunate to have two of the authors, Nicole Graff and Liz Crane, here with us in the KBOO studios. Nicole and Liz, thanks for coming into KBOO today.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Nicole, let's start with you. You and Liz are co-authors of the book. I should mention your other authors, Micah Sherman and David Stein, and also the great work done by your editor, Tony Perez. Can you tell us a little bit about your background, Nicole, in growing cannabis and how the book came together?
Well, my background in growing cannabis started 4 years ago with the legalization in Washington State. Before that, I was working in fashion design in New York City and looking for a change. And
what a change, yes.
A big change. I was thinking just a different fashion company to design for, but this kind of fell in our laps, Micah and myself, and it was just something so exciting and unique that we couldn't say no. It really felt like a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to be on the ground floor of such an exciting new industry, so we dropped everything and moved across the country and started working with David Stein, who is an old friend of Micah's father, who has been growing cannabis since he was in high school, and he's in his mid-60s now.
So, and that's Ravengrass?
That is Raven.
Company, and they're based in Washington.
We're based in Olympia, Washington. We grow all organic cannabis and produce a few ancillary products as well.
And Liz, I know your work, you're a fiction writer in addition to writing about Northwest food and restaurants and drink beverages. Can you tell us about your role as a Grow Your Own author and also some of the objectives you and Nicole and your co-authors had for the book?
Yeah, so when our editor, Tony Perez at Tin House, decided that he wanted to do a cannabis book and he wanted it to be open and accessible and maybe more female voiced. He wasn't sure. And he started, you know, looking for the right group of people to do that. And that led him to Ravengrass. They signed on. He convinced them that this was a good thing to do. And then his next step was, okay, well, who can I get to co-author this? And Tony had written about food for a bit in Portland, as I do. So he knew me through that world. And a cookbook that I did, Toro Bravo, he liked the way that I captured that chef's voice. So he asked me, and I said, oh, I would love to do that. I might have grown some own of my, you know, in the past, maybe. And so it was a topic that really interested me.
And the book starts with a section called A Brief History of Cannabis Culture. Fortunately, it's brief because it stretches all the way back to 1450 BC. One of the things I didn't know, of course, there's many things I don't know, is that Columbus brought cannabis seeds to North America, and hemp actually was an early cash crop in the colonies and before we became a nation. How did such an important plant from both a health and economic perspective come to be demonized and banned?
Well, there's a few kind of competing things that I think got in the way of cannabis being really successful here. I think one of those was the tobacco industry. One of those was the cotton industry, which was in direct competition. And then just the general, you know, big pharma movement as that kind of took over. More natural medicines really got demonized and cannabis got swept in with, you know, a lot of those and classified as a type A drug.
Yeah, you mentioned in that brief history, especially in the 20s and 30s, where it was demonized because it was used by a lot of African-American musicians. It was almost a form of racism, I think, to ban the drug at that point.
Very much so, and that's actually why we try and stay away from using the term marijuana in the book. That actually was a term that was brought about by the federal government to try and demonize cannabis because it was slang that was used by Mexican immigrants when they came over. So they used it kind of in conjunction with a lot of anti-Mexican rhetoric to try and scare people into staying away from it, which obviously didn't work so well.
Now, I mentioned Jeff Sessions in the intro, and Nicole, before we got on the air, you talked a little bit about him. But despite his efforts, it's still legal to cultivate your own cannabis plants in Oregon. What are the laws here for growing your own? I know Washington, you can't grow your own, but in Oregon, you can?
Correct. And I'm actually a Washington resident, so I can't speak to that as clearly.
Liz
probably can.
So basically, you can grow up to four plants at home. This is going to be a little bit loose. I'll hit some of the topics. You need to be within a certain distance of a public school, of an elementary school.
Oh, even if your house is across the street, you can't grow it in your backyard.
There's a certain distance, and I checked that before I grew at home, and I don't remember what it is, because I am quite close to, I live in North Portland, I'm quite close to Beach School. And then...
And you were okay?
I was okay, yeah. And then also you want, if you're growing outdoors, you want to have your plants not be viewable from public street and sidewalk space. So that was fine for me because I just this summer and last summer grew in my backyard, which has a pretty tall fence.
And one thing I was confused about, there's a limit to how much you can grow. It's not per person in a house, it's per household.
Yeah, it's a... there's a weight limit, and I'm sorry, but I don't know what that is.
Oh, I thought it was four plants. I didn't realize.
Oh, yeah, that uh-huh. But also what you can harvest at home and have in your home from cultivating in Oregon. There is a weight law on the harvest, but I don't remember what that is.
But yeah. We can safely say that it is legal to grow it in Oregon,
yeah.
Given a few guidelines like a distance from schoolyards and things like that. Now, Nicole, we mentioned your role in Ravengrass, so you grow cannabis professionally. How did you apply the lessons you learned as a commercial grower to the advice in the book? And you give the advice, it's mostly growing indoors in the book.
We do primarily focus on indoors, but we give a lot of disclaimers saying, you know, kind of our advice for the best way to tackle this book, if you don't want to invest a lot, is read the book over the winter, get familiar with the general concepts, cannabis in general, and then start outdoors, especially if you're in the Pacific Northwest. It's such a perfect climate, spring, summer, early fall here, that, you know, while a lot of this is geared towards indoor, it's very easily translatable. And it's funny because our commercial grow knowledge actually was taken from a lot of David's home growing knowledge. So we had to take what he had done, scale it up to go commercial, and then kind of scale it back down to do this book. And this book is ideally how we'd do things on a commercial scale if we could anyways. It's kind of our dream way of growing cannabis, which is organically in the earth, hands-on product at all times as much as you can. A lot of love and attention given to your plants.
Now, you go into the main components of cannabis. Now, two I knew, THC and CBD. Can you tell us a little about that? And then the third one I'll ask you about is one I don't know much about, but it's mentioned in the book.
Well, THC is the one that people are typically very familiar with when it comes to cannabis, and that is the primary psychoactive component of cannabis. The other one, CBD, has gotten a lot of traction lately, a lot of trendy articles written about it. It's very big in the medical world. CBD binds to the same receptors in your brain as THC. It's not psychoactive at all. It's very relaxing, has a lot of anti-inflammatory properties, antispasmodic, and anti-anxiety. So finding that perfect ratio between CBD and THC, which definitely talk to your local bud tender about, and they can help you depending on what your issues are, is crucial for a good experience.
Now, I've heard that CBD is actually legal, I think, in all 50 states, but it's not as effective unless there's a little THC involved in there. There must be some kind of chemical marriage between the two.
Yeah, what you're using it for. If it's for pain management, definitely you do need a little bit of THC in there to find that sweet spot of what works best for your body. The CBD that's legal nationwide is hemp-derived CBD, and you're not allowed to have any trace components of anything else in it. So on its own, it's very effective for treating very specific things, but probably not for most of us interested in trying it.
And that third component, I mentioned that I think I just learned about 6 months or so ago, and I've been a long time user when it was illegal too. This is terpenes, and you write in the book that over 200 terpenes have been identified in cannabis, and you pick out about 20 or so and describe mm-hmm. those in the book. How did you compile that list, and can you tell us a little bit about the terpenes' role in enjoying cannabis therapeutically mm-hmm. and recreationally?
Along with terpenes, there are also a slew of tertiary and secondary cannabinoids, CBD or CBG, CBN, THCV. Terpenes are what make up a lot of the flavor and scent profiles of cannabis. We chose the 20 that we focus on in the book based on information we get from our testing labs in Washington State. Their profiles for what they test for are constantly changing as their knowledge expands. One of the benefits of this being legal all of a sudden is the research is just growing by leaps and bounds. So we're learning, you know, every few months new terpenes that are actually really important in how your body interacts with cannabis. So working with them closely to make sure we had the most up-to-date version of the list in here. But they very much do affect your experience. Natural medicines share a lot of terpenes with cannabis. Linalool is a terpene that's found in both lavender and in a lot of cannabis strains, and it has the same benefits as you would think, you know, aromatherapy with lavender would have, very calming, very relaxing. Limonene is something that's found in citrus, and when you think citrus, you think bright, energetic, euphoric. Mm-hmm. It has the same effects when you're using a cannabis strain that has limonene in it. So again, paying attention to the terpene strains or terpene profiles of strains your body reacts well to can really help you tailor your experience in the future.
I have a lot more questions, but we're kind of running out of time. So Liz, I wanted to ask the last question to you. Your experience as a food writer, you go into the book, there's several different ways to consume it. We know some of them, smoking, tincture, but I'm particularly interested for you with edibles, how to cook with cannabis, and you give several recipes in there.
That was a really fun chapter. So Spot Edibles in Seattle developed all of the recipes for our cooking with cannabis chapter, and then I got to test them, and my friends got to try them, and that was really enjoyable. But yeah, I made coconut oil and coconut oil infused with cannabis and butter, and then I made all of the recipes in the book, but also tried some on my own, like lemon bars and some really yummy muffins. And I think the thing that people are scared of with edibles, we kind of give you some good tips and pointers on how to just basically make your coconut oil or your butter infused with cannabis, try a quarter teaspoon, wait a couple hours. How does that feel? Is it a little bit too much? Not enough? And then use that to portion for your 10 brownies or your 10 pieces of think dosing is always a kind of scary thing for people.
Right.
Yeah.
Again, I'm sorry we have to wrap up soon, but I want to at least mention you'll be reading at Powell's Books, City of Books, this Wednesday, January 10th at 7:30. So cable listeners can have a chance to come down and meet you and hear about the book and buy a copy if they're interested.
And bring questions. We'll have a lot of time for Q&A, so everyone can get their questions answered.
Oh, great. Well, Nicole and Liz, again, thanks very much for coming into KABU.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
We've been talking with Nicole Graff and Liz Crane, co-authors along with Micah Sherman and David Stein, of the new book from Tin House Press, Grow Your Own, Understanding, Cultivating, and Enjoying Cannabis. Nicole and Liz will be reading from the book 7:30 p.m. this Wednesday, January 10th at Powell's. That's 1005 West Burnside. For more information, you can check out the Tin House website, tinhouseallonword.com. I'm Ken Jones for KABU's News in Depth.